Matthew 24, the invitation of the last days. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 24. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. You'll see that on the screen behind me, and that you can follow along with that translation. If you have another translation, they're all good translations, all good to have. Important thing is we just read the Word of God. That's why the people died, that we might have the Word of God that we have today, and to write it in languages that people could understand. And so we are blessed today to have so many translations and to make it easy for us to read. And I trust that you're reading the Word of God. So Matthew 24, we're going to read from verses 3 to 14. It says, later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested and persecuted and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your wonderful people that you've brought into this place. And God, I just pray, speak to us, Lord, as we look to your word today. We want to hear from you, God. We want to be sensitive to, Lord, what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so, Lord, as we open up our ears and our hearts to you today, I just pray that you will bless us and just let truth be revealed to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to share with you about the invitations of the last days. And as you read these verses that we just read, it's kind of easy to see that we are living in the last days before the return of Christ. There will be rumors of wars, and there's lots of wars going on, rumors of more wars, nation against nation, famines, earthquakes, national disasters, all in the increase, false prophets appearing to deceive and gather crowds around themselves, people being lovers of themselves, sin becoming rampant and becoming normal, the norm of our society, integrity being absent, and lies being the normal practice in life. And then the Bible says, and the love of many will grow cold, not only towards God, but also towards one another. And people will be living their lives as if God doesn't even exist. And those aren't very positive things for us to be looking forward to in the days leading up to the return of Christ. And yet there's one positive verse that stands out, reading the whole chapter of Matthew 24. And it's found in verse 14. And it says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. There's a lot of bad news in chapter 24, but right in the middle, there's that one verse that speaks to us that tells us that the gospel is going to be preached to all nations, to all people, and given that opportunity that they might respond to Jesus Christ. And then the end will come. And as we look at our world today, we do see that the gospel is being preached and declared throughout our world. And one would almost think that surely everybody has heard that truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the fact of the matter is that that's not really true. Even though the message is going out all over the world, not everybody is hearing the message that Jesus came to save us from our sins, that Jesus came to pay the price of sin, which was death, that we might have eternal life and that we might live forever with God. There's a lot of people that haven't heard that yet. And even in our own nation, even in our own community, we often meet people that talk to us and they say, I've never, ever been in church my whole life. And for many of us, we would say, what? Like, that's impossible. Surely that's not true. No, I've never been in church my whole life. I've never heard really about Jesus Christ. And that's really happening, even though, you know, we have the Bible, even though we have magazines and television and internet and radio and satellite, even though we have all kinds of churches out there, there's still many people that have not heard the gospel message. I find that quite amazing. But it's also one of the reasons why I believe there's going to be one more move of God where everyone is going to be given the opportunity to hear the gospel and encounter Jesus Christ in their life. The opportunity for the gospel to reach every person before the end. So leading up to these last days and leading up to the return of Christ, there's going to be an unusual time. It's going to be unusual signs. There's going to be unusual happenings around the world. But there's also going to be unusual things spiritually take place as well. Because the Bible says that there's going to be many Christians who will fall away from the faith. They become too busy with life. They get dissatisfied with God, get dissatisfied with church. They get discouraged, and they will choose to walk away. And yet at the same time, there'll be many non-believers. They'll be hearing the message of Christ, encountering Christ, and come to faith, and a great multitude as the gospel message reaches out to all people. It kind of seems like a strange scenario where on one hand you have Christians leaving the faith and then you have non-believers coming to the faith. Kind of an unusual thing. And I really believe there's a lot of testing going on right now in regards to Christians and their faith. That God's really testing us to see, where are we in our faith? Do we really trust Him? Do we really believe in Him? And I see a lot of Christians going through a season where they're being tested. And I think that's part of the falling away. Some are falling away. They're not making the test. But at the same time, millions of people are coming to Christ around the world. There really is a harvest going on in our world right now with millions of people responding to Jesus Christ. However, the Western world churches are in decline. Canada's churches are in decline. Many believers are walking away from the faith. But I believe that's going to be changing. I believe that we're in line to receive something from God. I believe we're in line to receive a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that one more time that God's going to move upon even this nation of Canada, that people will be given that opportunity to respond. And we as a church, we want to be a part of what God is doing in these last days. We're looking forward to a great harvest right here in this community, this province, this nation. We're looking forward to that many non-believers are going to hear the gospel message and be able to be given that opportunity to respond, whether that's through the words that we share, whether it's the message they hear, whether it's through testimony, whether it's through outreach, through dreams, through visions, through divine encounters with God, whatever way it comes, we want to be a part of that. And I really believe we are the generation who will see this in its fullness. And that's something that we want to be a part of. It's something as a church we want to be a part of. Something as a leadership we want to be a part of. And I really believe it has started. But I believe it's going to increase rapidly as we start to see all the things that have been prophesied in the Bible come to pass. So for today, I want to focus on this one positive that's in there before the return of Christ. And that's on the invitation where the gospel is going to be declared to all people, and how I believe that that may take place. Well, first of all, in the last days, before the end, we have this invitation to hear the gospel. It's been a message, it's been an invitation that has been active ever since creation. Creation and nature itself testifies that there is indeed a God. And the message of the Bible has been around for thousands of years. And as the years go by, the advancement of that gospel message has been getting stronger and stronger and stronger, especially when we consider the advancements in our technology that we have today, and that we can get the gospel out in so many ways and so many areas that we're able to reach that we were never able to reach before. And then to add to that, there are the signs of the times that people cannot deny. Proofs that the Bible is true. Events in the world that is happening, that the Bible has been declaring those things for years. And also the very fact that God is drawing people by His Holy Spirit and drawing them closer before this return. And as that return draws near of Jesus, that gospel message is getting declared. But I believe there's going to be an acceleration with that. Even though there's been an acceleration, there's going to be a far greater acceleration, a far greater harvest than we've ever seen or ever heard. I believe there's going to be many divine visitations that convince people to turn to Christ and believe in Him. Because God is moving on the earth, all around us. And it's time for Canada. It's time for Canada. It's time for North America. It's time for those Western churches that from many times it was the Western church that got the gospel out, but now it's the Western church that's declining and all the places they reached out to that are growing, and that now those churches are sending missionaries back to us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that when that outpouring actually really has started, that move of the Holy Spirit. It says it in Acts 2, 17 to 21. That was the day of Pentecost. It says, in the last days, Acts 2, 17 to 21, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit started back in the book of Acts. If we want to be a true church, you know, sometimes, you know, we all fight about, well, which denomination is the right denomination. Just go to the book of Acts. That's where the church started. There was no denominational tag on there. It was just the move of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit has begun to move, that was the beginning. That was the initial outpouring. But that has not stopped. Because as we read that passage of Scripture, we don't see that the day of the Lord's return has not happened yet. And so since it hasn't happened yet, then the Holy Spirit is still moving. He's still being poured out upon the land. More people are going to encounter the Spirit of God moving upon them. I like this as this passage talks about that people will be having visions and dreams. And we used to hear about it that, you know, in Muslim countries, how many were coming to the faith through visions and through dreams. But now we're hearing that right here. We're hearing that in our own community, how God is speaking to people through visions and dreams. God has really taken an active role to reach out to people, to draw people that they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I really believe there's going to be a multitude that's going to respond in these last days. It's going to be very similar to what we see of the great multitude that's spoken of in Revelation 7, 9. It says, "And then I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" I believe this end time harvest is going to be very similar to that. And we won't have to be worrying about people whether, you know, they're going to be bold enough. They're not going to be shy. They're going to be shouting. They're going to be declaring what God has done and telling others of what Jesus Christ has done in their lives, that God is still on the throne. There's going to be some shouting that salvation comes from the Lamb of God that has been sent into this world. God is pouring out his Spirit, friends, all over the earth. Many parts of the earth already are experiencing salvations in the millions. In the millions are responding to Christ. There is a move of the Holy Spirit that has never been seen before on the earth. And I believe it's coming to Canada. I believe God's not going to, you know, of all the work that has been done in this nation to spread the gospel, I believe God's going to pour out one more time upon this whole nation, on the Western world, to get shaken up by the Spirit of God, that a great multitude may come in from this area as well as they respond to the gospel and message. I really believe that's going to happen. That's been the cry in my heart. That's been the dream that I keep chasing, because I believe there's going to be a multitude that's going to come. I believe there's going to be a multitude right in this community. There's going to be so many people, thousands and thousands of people in this area that are going to come to Jesus Christ and respond to him. And so I'm expecting that to happen. Expect that to happen, because it will happen, because God's invitation is definitely out there, and he is speaking to us in these last days. Then secondly, I want to talk about the invitation that we need to respond. See, there's one thing for the invitation to go out. It's been going out since the creation of the world. But people continue not to hear that invitation, or they hear the invitation and they don't respond to the invitation. And God tells us he's been very patient up to this point. As the day of Christ's return draws closer, though, there's an urgency. And I think many of you have been sensing that. Well, there's an urgency to get things right with God. God has been doing some testing. God has been exposing some things in our lives, in our hearts, and really putting us through some fire that he might test us, that we might be ready for that coming. I like what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord isn't being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God desires no one to perish. God desires no one to go to hell. And that's why he's moving upon people's hearts and people's lives, giving them an opportunity that they might respond. God will speak through nature. He will speak through signs and wonders. He will speak through visions and dreams. He will speak through his word. He will speak through circumstance. He will speak through us, that more people will be given the opportunity to respond. Personally, I really believe that God is tired of waiting on the church. I believe God is tired of waiting for Christians in our Western culture to get our acts together, to reach out, and he's starting to do that himself. As time is short, our Heavenly Father is drawing people. He's drawing them. We've heard so many testimonies in this place where people were drawn to this church, not because of what we've done, but simply because the Spirit of God began to draw them, even as they drove by this building. He was doing that. He was doing that. John 6:44 says, "For no one can come to me," Jesus says, "unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I'm going to raise them up." Our Father in heaven is working. He's working, and he's moving by his Holy Spirit to nudge us, to speak to us, to draw us. And people are having these encounters with God, those internal nudges of the Holy Spirit to draw us to a place where we might have faith and take that step to believe and confess Jesus Christ. James 4:8 says, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." See, God's wanting to draw close to every one of us. But he also realizes there's a battle that's going on for our souls. And loyalty is being divided between God and the things of this world. And sometimes we get so involved in our world that God's left out. While God's been waiting all along, he wants us to respond. He wants us to respond. There's an invitation that's going out. He's hoping that people will see their need of God and respond. And one of the greatest invitations of Scripture I love referring to, it's found in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, says, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Why do you keep having those burdens? Why do you keep carrying those things? And he says, "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I love this invitation because it speaks to all people. So it's not just some people or some significant people. It's all people. If you're weary, if you're going through questions in life, if you're wondering, is there a God or not? He's saying, come, come. He's not telling you, oh, you got to straighten out all these other things in your life and you got to correct all these other things and then come. No, he's just saying, just come. Come as you are. Come as you are and allow him to begin to touch you and minister to your heart and bring life into your being. He'll be gentle with you. He'll be loving with you. He will help you. He will teach you. He will direct you into right paths. He'll bring rest to your soul, peace to the longings on your heart that you've been trying to fulfill in so many other ways. See, Jesus Christ really is the answer that will satisfy the cries of your soul. You just need to respond. You just need to respond. If you've been sensing God stirring your heart, if you've been sensing that, you know, I need to get close to God. I know maybe you're here today. Maybe this is your first time you've ever been in church. Why are you here in church today? Because you felt the stirring in here. That's him. That's him. He's drawing you. He wants for you to come to him. He wants to minister to you. He wants to bless you. And so God is tugging at the hearts of so many people. So many people are having dreams and visions and circumstances. Sometimes I have to laugh because sometimes at the altar people will come and they will tell me they had a dream. And in the dream they come to church and we're supposed to have all the answers. And so sometimes I kind of chuckle when they come and they say, "Well, I'm here. Like, didn't you get the dream too?" No, I didn't. But just direct them to Jesus, because he's the one that was calling them. He's the one that's calling them. God wants to have relationship with us. God wants to spend eternity with us in heaven. And so he's inviting us to respond. How do you respond? I like to use the words of the scriptures. Best way to respond is, what does the Bible say? Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth you are saved. There's two translations out there of the New Living Translation, interesting enough. There's a first edition and a second edition. First edition, I kind of like how it says this. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So the right response to the invitations of God is, first of all, for us to believe. We need to believe. We need to believe in God. And as we believe that, then we also need to confess or declare that we believe that God sent his son Jesus to pay the price of our sin, which was death on a cross, but that he proved that he was the Savior by rising from the dead, giving us the assurance that as we believe in eternity and a life after death, then we best believe in someone who actually conquered it. And so that's part of your belief system. It needs to be that as we respond to God, that we believe in God, that we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and we then confess that. We then declare that. We then share it with others that we now believe that I'm now a Christian. That's important for us. Very important for us. John 3:16, for God loves the world so much, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's what God wants all this world to experience. That's what he wants everyone to come to him. See, he's revealing himself to this world in these last days. And it's becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And I really believe there's just going to be one day and things are going to break wide open. It's starting. I can see it. But I know there's a day where there's going to be a great response and a great multitude that will come and believe in Jesus Christ. But as we look at this invitation to respond, there's also an invitation to participate in. See, as God gives that information out and that invitation out to people to respond, there's already many who have responded. Many of you here have already responded to that message. You've already professed your belief in Jesus Christ. You already do believe in Christ. Well, as that invitation continues to go out, we're supposed to be a part of that invitation. We're not supposed to leave it all up to God. And sometimes that's what we've done in our Western culture. We've kind of left it up to God to do the evangelism. We kind of stop doing evangelism. We kind of stop doing those things that we need to be doing as Christians, like praying and seeking His face and getting into His Word and sharing our faith with others. But that's the part of the invitation we're to still participate in. See, time is short. And personally, I really believe that God is losing patience with us, and that He's moving ahead on His own and encountering people on His own. I've often testified to people about our church. I said, you know, the greatest evangelist in my church is Jesus Christ Himself, because the most people that come to faith in our church is not because what we've done, but it's because He's encountered people, spoke to people, gave them a vision, gave them a dream, and He drew them to Himself. And that's really fantastic. But that doesn't release us from the obligation for us to reach our world. The Great Commission is for all of us, not just the pastor of the church, not just for the leadership of the church. We're all to be active in sharing the good news of the gospel. Great Commission is found in Matthew 28:19-20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Too often we just allow everybody else, or we think everybody else is doing it. And the fact of the matter is, everybody else is not doing it. We really are not all that active as individuals with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, as a church, we're trying to do different things to be more evangelistic, to have opportunities for you to invite people. But the responsibility comes down to us as individuals, that we need to be doing something to speak to others, to get that message out. And that might be a good place for us to start this morning, to simply ask ourselves, well, what are you doing about it? Let's not be pointing our fingers at the church and what the church is doing or not doing. What are you doing? Are you sharing your faith? Are you inviting people out to the house of God? Are you trying to talk to people about God? Or are you just kind of saying, that's so-and-so's job, or that's that person's job? God can look after that. No, God is sending each and every one of us. We're to be a part of that. We're to be a part of that. And as the day of Christ's return draws near, there is an urgency for us to spread the gospel and to be busy about His business and not distracted by all of our wants or pleasures or excuses. Because the Bible says that we can miss it. Some people think that we can't. Yes, we can miss it. The Bible says there's going to be a falling away at the same time. Christians will fall away, but non-believers are going to start coming to Christ. I don't want to be one of those people that fall away. I want to be a part to see all these new people come to Christ and experience Christ and experience that joy and experience that happiness. That's what I'm looking for. Many parables speak to this urgency to be ready for Christ's return. You can think of the 10 virgins, of whom 5 were ready and 5 were not. And the story tells us that for those 5 that were not, the door was closed. There was no other opportunity given to them. I like this story of talking about the wedding feast. Luke 14:16-24. I'm going to read that, just so you might get the understanding of what God is doing in the last days. And Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. Do you realize that there's a banquet that's being prepared for us in heaven? It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So think of that as you read this. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married and so I can't come." And the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and in the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." And after the servant had done this report, there's still room for more. And so his master said, "Go into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. But none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet." That's what happens when people fall away. You lose the opportunity. Friends, I really believe that speaking to us, soon Christ will return. Soon there will be that marriage supper of the Lamb, a wonderful banquet that's prepared for all of God's people, and there will be a call to come. I pray that we'll all be saying, "Yes, yes," that no matter what we're doing, that we'll say, "That's not important. That's not important." We place so much importance on things of life today, when the most important thing is your relationship with Jesus Christ and being ready to spend an eternity with him. That's what's important. God wants this house filled. We need to respond to that. As pastors here at our church and as board members of this church, we want to be participants in this invitation for people to come to Christ. And we've been very serious about that. We've been really looking at ourselves and doing a lot of examination in that area and to reach out. We've been attending seminars and reading books and how we can effectively reach people today. We've been partnered with their district to join with them. And matter of fact, we're partnering with them to bring in this person. His name is David McFarlane. And he's associated with the Billy Graham Association that trains people to reach out with the gospel. So as a church, this is important to us. We want to make sure that we're doing our job, and we want to make sure that we help you to do your job to reach out and touch our world. And so this guy is going to be coming here. This is going to be kind of an announcement part of the message, but he's going to come here on Saturday, March 30th. And he's going to the district office and doing some taping there, DVD taping, so that they can send it out to the rest of the district. But then he's coming to our church, and he's going to do a seminar on the Saturday, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Cost is only going to be $10 just to cover the meal. And he's going to be talking with us about effective witnessing for everyday people. I'm going to read you the things he's going to talk about so that you can start getting prepared for that. Again, that it's going to be March 30th, the Saturday. He'll also be here on Sunday to speak to us, but we really need this seminar. And in that seminar, we'll be talking about taking the fear out of sharing your faith by receiving helpful tools, encouragement, and inspiration. Learn simple baby steps that will help you care about help those you care about on their spiritual journey to salvation. Discover helpful tips on how to share your faith. Develop your own faith story as a tool of presenting the gospel. Learn a number of ways to share the hope of the gospel. Mentoring new believers to grow strong faith roots for themselves. And then he says at last, come prepared to have some fun as we're going to learn to be more effective witnesses. And that's what we want to be. We want to get serious about reaching our world. Yes, God is moving by his Holy Spirit. We don't want to leave all the work to God. God's called us as well to be a part of that, to go out into all the world. We're to be there. We need to be ready as people start coming in to receive them and to train them and to teach them. Those are all things are important. And we want to prepare ourselves as a church and as a board that we're very serious about that. And so really encourage you to plan for that weekend. And we'll have a sign-up sheet there next week that we'll start signing up for that so we can know a number to prepare for. Friends, there is a move of God that is happening. God is drawing his people. And there's millions and millions of people coming to Jesus Christ around the world. We're not really seeing that a lot in the Western world. We're not really seeing that a lot in Canada, but it's starting to change. It's starting to change. There is a move that is on, and we need to be ready and prepared to receive them, to accept them, but also to be a part of it and telling others about Jesus Christ. I really believe that God's going to be giving us opportunities, unusual opportunities to share our faith, that we won't even have to look for them. They'll just happen. And I hear a number of you telling me those stories. I was talking this morning just at the table of breakfast, and they were sharing a story how conversation of faith just started to happen. They weren't looking for it. It just started to happen. And that's what we're looking for. We want to be a part of what God is doing in these last days. And so as a church, we're making this endeavor to do a better job, because we really do want to reach people for Christ. We're not looking to see this church fill. God has a far bigger plan than just filling this church. Every church, I think, should be filled, and more so, and more so, and more so as he moves upon this land. And in the last days, before the end comes, salvation message is going to be declared, that all people of all nations will hear it and be given the opportunity to respond. I want to be a part of that, and I know you do too. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're new. Maybe you're one of those people that, as I was talking about here, say, that's me. God was speaking to me. I didn't realize it was God at first, but I was just at home, and I just start feeling this nudge that all of a sudden I need to go to church. That's God. That's God pulling at your heart. Maybe you've been feeling those impressions inside of you that God seems to be calling you. You don't know what to do. Well, we can help you with that part. We already told you, starts with make a confession. You believe. You take a step. We're going to have a prayer team here shortly, here at the front of the church. And if you're wanting prayer, if you're wanting help in that regard, they will gladly pray with you and just lead you into a prayer that will help you to come to that faith in Christ and into a deeper relationship with him. Because the Bible says that now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of decision. Too often we put decisions off and we wait and say, you know what, later I'm going to serve God. Later I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to serve God. And God's saying, it is the last days. You're already here. Time to serve Jesus Christ is today, right now. The time to make that decision, the time to be a part of what God is going to do in these last days is now. He is moving. I want to see the moving of God here in Canada. I want to see millions of people in Canada respond to Jesus Christ. I'm excited what he's doing over there in China. I'm excited what he's doing in Korea. I'm excited what he's doing in South America. I want to see it here. I want to see it right here in St. Paul. I want to see it right here in this Lakeland region. I want to see it here in my province. I want to see it across this nation. The Spirit of God to touch this land. One more time, giving everyone an opportunity to say yes or to say no. God will give that to people. He will give the opportunity to say yes or no. They make the choice. He's not making the choice for them. He gives the opportunity. I want to be a